Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara in Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. We are three lines, the end of the line over there, Vahatofer Shtei Tfiros. So someone sews two stitches, you're going to be Chayav. The minimum is going to be one in and one out. That's what we saw before. So Gemara says, Vahalo Kaima, but the stitching isn't going to last. If it's not a permanent thing, then why should a person be Chayav for that? We're only going to be Chayav for any Malachah if it's considered something that's generally permanent. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Bar Yochanan v'hu shekasha. The Mishnah means to say that if you tie the two ends together and made it in a permanent fashion, then that would be the Isser de Oresa. Okay, so the Mishnah continues, HaKora Almanas Litfor, someone who tears in order to sew. So the Gemara asks now, Kriya b'Mishkan mihave, where was there tearing anywhere in the construction of the Mishkan? We don't see that anywhere in the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Bzeira Dermat Tavaya, Rabbi Bzeira said the following, Shekein Yiriya Shenafa Bar Darna. There was a curtain in which a worm fell, and it would create a hole in the curtain. Then what would they do? Korin ba v'tofren osa. They would tear it, the curtain, to further lengthen the tear, and that would enable them to then sew it together in a way that Rashi points out. That would be a better way to stop the tear from having a crease in it, and therefore it would make a better repair. So just an Agav Araya, the Chalkas Yoav is a famous posek in Switzerland. It was Rav Breish. So he quotes, when he's asked the Shaila about tearing toilet paper on Shabbos, so he quotes the Shulchan Aruch Rav, who says that only if a thing has many strings in it, many strands in it, like of a beged, of a thing like that, would a person be chayav on korea on tearing. However, if it's made of one piece, one straight piece, that would not be liable to the din of korea. And the Chelkas Yoav, in explaining this truva, he brings a raya from our Gemara. He thinks that we say in the Gemara over there that the yiriya, if the curtain had fell and it had its korfen or torfen, so that was if it was it had multiple pieces. However, if you have one piece like the niyar, the toilet paper is each one sheet, that would not be similar to the din d'areisa. And therefore, he's mekel if you do a kalachayad, and because you have only a din d'rabanan, and you're not going to have an issur d'areisa if you tear it off the lines. So that was one of the tzadim that he was mekel, that he doesn't think it'd be korea on a d'areisa. From this very Gemara, this point from the Gemara over here. Okay, Gemara now continues. Amar Azucha Bar Tuvia Amar Rav Hamotze Chut Shel Tfira B'Shabbes. Someone who tightens the thread of a stitch on Shabbos, Chayav Chatas is going to be Chayav Chatas. Rashi says because he did the Melacha of sewing on Shabbos. So then the Gemara says V'Alome Davar Echad. So once we're mentioning things that Rav Zucha Bar Tuvia said, Amar Rav, he's something else. Amar Rav Halomen Min Amagul. Someone learns from someone who's a min, who's a heretic, then chayiv misa is going to be chayiv death penalty. We're going to see that means from misa b'nei shamayim. It doesn't mean the basin is going to kill him for that. And the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly did he do wrong. Someone who knows how to calculate the way that the astronomical things and the celestians and all these things, the consultations, all the things in shamayim, all the sun, the stars, and all how everything works, and he doesn't do this, it's forbidden to relate Torah rulings in his name. We're going to see exactly, Rashi points out that he mentions these three things because he learned them from Rav at the same time. That's why we're mentioning them. So now, the Gemara is going to analyze. The Gemara says, Magoshta. This case, what is a Magoshta? It's Macholkes. Rav Shmuel, Chada, Mar Charche. One says it's a type of Kishuf. Rashi is like a sorcerer. Someone who does magic. He does it through sorcery. V'chadamar gdufe. And one says someone who is a blasphemer or a heretic who is involved, Rashi says, with Avodah Zorah. And he also incites others to do Avodah Zarah as well. So this is not a good thing. So the Gemara explains which side Rav held. The Gemara says, Tistayim, the Rav, Demar Gedufe. It makes sense to assume that Rav held that the Magoshta is someone who is cursing God. Demar Rav, Zucha, Bartuvi, Amar Rav, Alomid, Davar Echad, Min Amagosh, or someone who learns one thing from Magamash, Chayav Misa. So now he said, the Gemara says that it implies that he's talking about a min dafka, someone who's a heretic. How do I know? That's the Isak, the Charshe. If you assume Rav held that it was talking about a sorcerer, Haksiv, lo sil mad lasos, the Pasuk says you shouldn't learn to do acts of sorcery. Aval atalamid lavin loris, but the Pasuk implies that someone is allowed to acquire the knowledge in order to understand what's usher? Those who are in the Sanhedrin have to understand what exactly was the sorcery that's in Isser D'Oraisa, so you are allowed to learn it. So Rav couldn't have said categorically that someone who's learning from a sorcerer is going to chayav misa because there are certain cases it's mutter, so it must be that Rav was referring to a gedufe, that is someone who's referring to a heretic who is blaspheming God. And the Gemara says to Sayim that actually is a correct cheshbon, and that makes sense, that would be the case of someone who you stay far away from, Rashi says, because we're afraid maybe he will convince you to Rachman al-Tzlan, worship idols, and do Avodah Zarah, and that's why Rav says to stay away from it in any case, and don't listen to anything he says. So the Gemara continues in the second statement, the third statement of Rav Zutra. The Gemara says, "Amar Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Bishum and Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Kol Adela Chasha Biskupos and Mazlos Veino Choshes." Someone who knows how to calculate these the seasons, the constellations, and doesn't calculate them, Alava Kosa Omer Ves Paul Hashem Lo Ibitu Yad Maaseh Devil Lo Roz. Someone who looked at the work of Hashem and he didn't regard his actions and he did not see. So the Rishonim discuss, the Chronim discuss what exactly is he supposed to be doing and getting from this. So the Ran explains that when a person is able to see how the sun and the constellations and all the stars and everything, he's going to see the greatness of Hashem who set them in place. And not only that, he'll have a way to answer those who worship the sun and the stars. He'll be able to explain to them exactly how they work and explain that that these things are not avodah zarah at all. Torah's memory gives a very similar shot to this Ran over here. And this in general, the Rambam writes that in general, that a person wants to see Maaseh Hashem and appreciate Hashem, you should see the works of nature. That a person should see the work of nature, you see these beautiful things, the famous story of Shimshon HaFar Hirsch, that he said that Hashem, that he went to see the Swiss Alps, and they asked him, why did he go see the Swiss Alps? And he said, because after 120, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to say to me, why don't you go see my beautiful creations and things in the world? That there's a beautiful Maaseh Niflosa Bore, and a person who recognizes that they all come from Hashem will have a greater appreciation for Hashem if he goes sees these beautiful things. Okay, the Gemara says a similar thing. How do I know that a person has a mitzvah to calculate the different seasons and the consultation? The pasuk says you should perform. I have a safeguard around the Torah, and because it's your wisdom, and it is vinaschem, your straw is bina, is like a higher level of wisdom than in front of the nations. So the Gemara says, "Ezer chachma bina shinenecha amim." So what is this wisdom and greater wisdom that you're going to have in front of the other nations? This is a calculation of the season, the constellations, that a person is able to do that. Explain when a person is able to correctly predict the weather and things like that. That is they realize how smart we are, and that. And over here, that's a very nice thing. The Ramban just points out that when we use the lashon mitzvah, it's quite, usually we say mitzvah in the Gemara, I really think it's like a din d'oraisa, so you have to do it. Here, mitzvah just means that it's a nice thing to be doing. Not actually a chi of mamish, a person to be able to calculate these in yanim. Rather, it's an encouragement to a person to do it like the way we colloquially use nowadays. Plenty of people use that lashon of mitzvah. Oh, it's a mitzvah, go do this. That's just like a nice thing to be doing. Okay, either way, the market is now. Hatzad Svi, someone who hunts a deer. So the Gemara now could discuss the Tanur Rabbanan. The Braisa told us, Hatzad Chilazon Rapotza. Someone traps a Chilazon and squeezes it with his hand in order to force out the blood. Rashi says, they would do that in order to make the dye. The Chilazon was the thing that they use to make the dye for Tchilas. So there's a big Shaila. Do we find out what the Chilazon is or not? You know, the new way people assume, a lot of people assume that it's the Murex Tunculus. It's this type of snail. So that is one way that people, and it's the thing that you squeeze out. So he says, "Eino en chayav chatas." You're only going to be chayav one chatas for the malacha of trapping. This agav is a raya that those who are against the Mirek Shankalas as being the Tchelas used, because they say, the Gemara is going to tell us later, we're going to see this Gemara, that if something is mechusar tzedaf, if something is lacking trapping, you're not going to be chayav on Shabbos. So a snail, as a walking around, is pretty slow. As slow as a snail is a reason. So it's something that you can't assume that you're going to be chayav at tzedah. The Gemara says explicit over here, you're chayav achatis, you're chayav for the malacha of tzedah. So they bring in, how could in the world, could it be a snail? Okay, there are people who have the chilazon try to get out of it, but this is agav, a very strong raya against the mirek shanklas being the chilazon. The Gemara continues now, Rabbi Yehuda omer chayav shtayim. He's going to be chayav two different korbanos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be also chayav tzedah and for squeezing out the blood. Shahai Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ptzia Bechal Disha, because he assumes that squeezing out the blood is going to be Bechal Dash, that's Melach of threshing. And when you extract the blood, that's similar, Rashi says, that's similar Maisa as taking taking the grain from the husk, that's going to be a Tolda of Dash, that this would also be a Tolda of Dash. Amru Lo, Ein Ptzia Bechal Disha. They said, no, squeezing is included in the Chayav of threshing, and therefore the Chalos is not going to be Chayav a second Chatos. So Gemara continues to analyze the view of the Rabbanan. The Gemara says, Amru Rava, Maitam and the Rabbanan, what's the reason of the Rabbanan? Kasar Vindisha, Le Gedulei Karka, they hold that the Malach of threshing only applies to that which grows from the ground, and not to either a fish or a snail, depending on what you hold the chilazon is, but not to a living, not to the animal. The Gemara says, "Lechav namashum detels neshama." Why don't you assume that you're going to be chayev for killing? We're going to see later. That's what shochet is, that you kill. Yeshchita is slaughtering going to be chayev for netilas neshama. That they did that either by the killing the chilazon or for the tachash that they had in the Mishkan, in the building of the Mishkan. So either way, you should be chayev for that. The Gemara says, "Rabbi Yochanan shepatzam meis." Maybe explaining that we're assuming that the Brisos are discussing a case where you kill the chilazon after already it was dead. Sorry, you were extracting it, you're squeezing it out after it was already dead. To which the Gemara says another answer, Rav Amar, afil tema shabazuchai. No, you don't have to say that. Maybe you even squeezed it while it's alive. Misasegu itzel natil sashama. Because we saw this concept of the misasek, you're really thinking about another act, for the malacha of taking a life, that would be the iser. So the shaila is this really misasek? The misasek is like where I'm trying to do something, like the example we keep giving is like you're standing by the light and you just like flip your hand to itch yourself and you hit the light. That's mamash where you're thinking about a different malacha and you're thinking about a different action completely. Here you know that the action is going to be taking place. So Tosa says that really it is lav dafka, doesn't mean misasek, but rather it means davar she'ena miskaven, that it's something that you are doing and it's an unintentional act. So which the Gemara's follow-up question would actually make a lot of sense according to Tosa. The Gemara says, V'ha b'ayv rabba d'ama t'vayim, modi Rav Shimon p'sik reisha v'lo yamas, that even according to Rav Shimon, if you want to assume that there's Rav Shimon, he's going to agree that if something is inevitable, as we mentioned before, right? And literally, if you cut off the head of the animal, it's going to not die, meaning that if something is inevitable, according to Rabbi Shimon, that even he would agree that it's asur to do. So Gemara says, Shani Hacha, here is different, to Kama to Isbe Neshama, because the longer it stays alive, Tfei Nichale, he is happier, Ki Echad Latzotiva, because the dye is better, apparently Rashi says, from a living animal, than from the dead animal, he'll have a clearer, better color, so therefore he wants it to stay alive, and therefore, in that situation, therefore it would be Lo Nichale, and maybe that, Davarshin of Skaven, and a Lo Nichalei is not going to be it's not going to be an Aser Iser over here. Okay, the Gemara continues about Shochter, someone who slaughters. The Gemara says, what is the Iser with Shochter? Shochter Meshim Ayim Chayev. So what is going to be someone who is Shechting on Shabbos? What is he Chayev? What Malachas? The Gemara says, Rav Marshim Tzavei. Rav says, because he is dying. When the gushing blood comes out, Rashi says that the blood, when the blood is gushing out, when a person is slaughtering, it's going to dye the area around. It's going to dye the hides over there. So the Gemara says, "Ushmu Amar Nitzel Shama." The Shema says, "No, you're killing. Killing is part of that of getting rid of the animal. That's the malacha that you have done." So which the Gemara asks, "Mishum Tzaveya in Mishum Nitzel Shama?" No, could it be that it's really for the sole purpose of dying and not for the fact that you took a life? That doesn't seem to be the case, because Shochet is one of the 39 malachas in the Mishnah. And we also have Tzaveya. So if it's Tzaveya is the same thing, then according to Rav, how do you have two different malachos? So the Gemara says, Imahav Bishum Tzaveya, Rav means to assume that a person is also going to be chayev for dying, is going to be also chayev for dying, meaning he's chayev two different malachos. If you're shechting, you're also going to be chayev Nitzel Shama, and you're going to be chayev for dying as well. Okay, the Gemara continues, Amar Rav. Rav said, Milsa de Arme Imabai Milsa. I'm going to say something about what I said before. Interesting. That the later generations are going to hear what my shaila and what I said, or what my statement, and they're going to think that I'm ridiculous. They're going to make fun of me. So Tzaveya b'may nichalei. Why is Tzaveya a person who's dying? Why is it good for him? So the Gemara says now, because nicha delitves beishaschitza dama. Because it's good for the person, because that you show the place where you shechted the animal by the throat, if it looks good, if it has blood in it, because Rashi says, Ki echid lichto inche, v'leisa lizunet, because people are going to see it. Rashi says, it's a fresh piece of meat. They're going to know that they see that the red around it, that you just shechted it, mamish just now. You see it's freshly slaughtered, then leisa lizunet, a fresh piece of meat, just like anything else, is better, anything is better fresh. So they know that you just shechted it today, there's a fresh cow, and it's going to taste delicious, so they're going to come to buy from there is nichale, and therefore, it is an iser deraisa of tzaveya. That's just bringing raya for what he was saying, why it should be something that you actually want. You want the dye to be there. Okay, continues now analyzing the malachas in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says about Mochav Abdo, that we had that someone was salting and tanning, that would be part of the malachas. So the Gemara asks now, Hainu Maleach, Vahainu Ma'abed. But they're both one and the same malachas, Rashi points out, meaning the hide is salted as part of the tanning process, so why don't we just assume it's one malacha? So the Gemara answers, I'm saying, you're right. Rabbi Yochanan, Ve'ish Lakish, Tamar Tevayu, Apik Chai Menayev, Ayels Tirtut. You should take out one of them from the list of the 39. The dish be counted as one malacha, vayel sirtut, and you should insert the fact of some about tracing lines, and that would be the new malacha of the 39th one. So what was this tracing lines? That leather workers used to be the way, they used to trace lines in order to show how what type of shape they wanted to use or how the piece should be cut. So that would be tracing these lines, would use in the Mishkan in order to figure out between the tachashim and from the rams that they used to figure out also between these two things, they used to use it to trace in the lines. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Ravuna, Hai man de malach bisra. Someone who salts meat, chayev mishum abed, is going to be chayev on the din d'areisa of tanning on Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara says, Machlokas, the Rava Amar, anybody, Boch, Rav says there's no tanning in the case of foods. Tosos just point out that this would not be a din d'oraisa. However, even d'rabbanan, he's going to agree that there'd be an iser of ibud of tanning foods through salting it. So Gemara says, When is it usher to salt the meat? Is only if you need it for the derech, which you're salting it as a preservative. Then that's going to be usher. However, about the base, if someone is just salting in a normal way for what you eat at home, that is lo masher inish michla eitz. That is not going to be considered inedible, and then it would not be considered heavy salting. That would not be the issue of salting. And that's halacha ma'aseh also, that we salting in general, the way people salt in Shabbos, that's not an issue. The time it comes up is if you're salting dafka for a purpose like on Leil Pesach, Leil Seder is the Pesach, that's a whole shayla about doing it with water and making a dafka that, and it might be a problem. Okay, the market is v'hamechachov. We saw that smoothing and cutting it, those are the malachas preparing a hide. The Gemara says, Amar Rabacha, Brachanina, Hashach, Beina, Amudim, Meshavis, Chayim, Meshum, Mimachik. That someone who rubs the hides between the pillars of Shabbos, meaning he places the skins between the pillars, then he rubs in between them, we're going to be chayev for the malacha of memachik, of smoothing. To which the Gemara says, Amar Abchia bar Abba, Shoshu Dvarim Sachli Ravashi, Mishmei the Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi. There's three things that Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi told me, and he said the following, Amigar Roshe Klunaso Peshabbos Chayev Meshum Mechatech. That the first one he told me is that someone who planes the tops of these posts on Shabbos to make them even is going to be chayev malach of cutting. Because you want them to be a specific size, that we saw before, that cutting to a specific size is the iser, so therefore that's going to be usher. And someone who spreads a bandage onto a wound on Shabbos is going to be chayev malach of smoothing it out. And misateis as a eved b'Shabbos chayev mishum makev patish. And the third one is someone who chisels out a stone of Shabbos because you finish the malacha, you're completing the work of the stone, and therefore it's makim patish, is a finishing touch of every malacha. To which the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Shimon ben Kisma, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Hatzar Tzura Bekli, of Emenafech Kli, Zechulis, Chayav Mishum Makim Patish. The Gemara continues that when is the malacha of makim patish, the general understanding is when you finish a malacha, finishing touch of a thing that you are building or creating, so we have more examples of that. So he says over here, if someone engraves a figure onto a clay cheres, an earthenware vessel, and someone who blows in order to craft a glass kli, you're going to be chayev of finishing those kelim. Amar Rav Yehuda, hay man deshakil akufe miglu mechayev mishum makev epatish, v'ani mila dekapir alayu. Rav Yehuda said that someone who removes a threads from a beged, from a cloak, is going to be chayav because a malacha of makev epatish, finishing a malacha, and that applies only if it's particular about them, and you would not wear the garment until you remove all of the threads that are sticking out. In that case, the work of the garment isn't considered complete until you remove those threads, and once I remove those threads, then I have violated a din d'oraisa makev epatish, finishing touch. As we mentioned before, that in the Achronim, Rav Asher Weiss says, let's say, for example, he says that he takes this very seriously, that most a lot of things like electric electronics and things like that, he implies the din d'oraisa makev epatish to a lot of these things because you're finishing touch of an item, as we see here, that's a loosely geder. Okay, that's the shaila whether we should assume it's really an din d'oraisa or not, but that's how some poskim want to understand. And the Gemara continues like kosher shtei osio, someone who writes two letters and you also mochek in order amanas lichtov, you erase two letters in order to write them. The Gemara continues tanar banam kasav osachas gedola v'yesh mikom alachtov shtayim pater. Someone wrote a really big letter, he wrote a really big aleph, and he could have wrote two aleves in that space. So you're not chayev the din d'oraisa. That would be a shayla. The shayla that we mentioned yesterday is that if someone writes one letter, is that a chatzi share of an iser d'oraisa, just not punishable by death? Or is it considered a chatzi balacha and you're going to be patra v'laser and only be a din d'rabanan? That's a shayla when it's lashon of patra over here. Many the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham Muslim that's still an iser d'oraisa. Okay, but that's a shayla. How do you understand patra? Malchak os achas gedolam. However, if you erased one really big letter, one letter aleph, v'yesh gom lechtov shtayim, and there is a space there to write two letters after that, chayev, you'd be chayev adin d'oraisa, because what mochek is amanas lichtov, that you erased in order to write. So here you've erased, and now you can write two letters, so then you've erased in order to write, and then you'd be chayev. To which the Gemara says, Amar Menachem Rabbi Yossi, zechomer mochek v'mekosev. This shows a chumrah, a stringency that applies by erasing, because if you mochek one letter that has a size for two, you're going to be chayev d'oraisa. If you wrote one letter that has a size for two, you're not be chayev d'oraisa. So we see that this situation would be more machmer on the one who erases than the one who writes. Now the commission continues. You're destroying, you're extinguishing, you're lighting a fire, and you're finishing touch. You're live finishing touch of a product or whatever you're creating. So now the Gemara continues. As we said before, anything that it finishes a malacha is going to be the din d'oraisa of makabe patish of finishing touch on a malacha. The Gemara says, Elu avos melachos. The Mishnah continued and said, these are the 40 minus 1 labors, the Isurim deraisa, the avos melachos. Elu, so it says, the Gemara says, what is the lashon of Elu? Every word of the Mishnah is meduyek. So why is the lashon of these are them? So the Gemara says, lafukim mit Rabbi Lezer, to mechayev al tov b'makom lav. This is to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, who tells us in Maseches Krisus, he says that there's really no difference between an av and tolda, just their shemos. Really, you'd be chayav two different chatases. If you do an av and the tolda of that very av, you'd be chayav two different korban chatas. So really, just the shemos are just a technical thing, nothing to do with the real halacha l'maisa application. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling you, no, these are the 39 lafukir Rabbi Lezer, and if a person did an av and a tolda, you'd only be chayav one korban chatas. The Gemara says chaser achas 40 minus 1, so you have 39 malachos. So the Gemara says, Lafukim mit Rabbi Yehuda, this is coming to exclude the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The Sanya, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says, Mosev et ha-shovet ve-medakte. So Rabbi Yehuda, says the Braisa, he said, he would add in the din of lining up the threads in the warp and beating the threads of the woof as the things are in the 30 malachos. To which they responded to him, Amru lo, Shovet areya b'chlal meisech. They said that lining up is going to be under the category of meisech, which we said before, that's stretching the threads of the warp within the loom. That's the same thing. They both involve the arranging the threads of the warp that contribute to the same malacha. So medaktik areya b'chlal oreg, and also beating is going to be subsumed under the category of the av malacha of weaving. So therefore, the Mishnah is teaching that there is no more than 39 malachos, as Rabbi Yehuda wanted to tell that there would be more than 39 malachos in this case. Now the Mishnah continues with Od Klal Amru. We said another rule with regards to Hilchos Shabbos. Kol HaKasher LaTznia. Anything which is fit to store, which Rashi says, meaning anything that is used by people, umatzin kamo, and people generally stored in the shear of the quantity that would be used for later use, Rashi says, Be'otziyah b'Shabbos, and someone carried this item on Shabbos, so it shows that it's chashuv, then chayav alav chatas. Chayav chatas alav. You're going to be chayav chatas because you violated the deraisa. However, v'chol she'inu kasher latznia, something that's not fit to store, v'in matzin kamo, and people don't store it in that amount, Be'otziyah b'Shabbos, and you decide to carry it on Shabbos, and chayav alav hamatz. Only the person who's storing it is going to be chayav, because this person showed that it was chashuv to him, and therefore if it was chashuv to him, he would be chayav. However, others would be exempt because this is not something that's chashuv to them, and carrying it would not be a malacha for them. To which the Gemara now says, Kol HaKosher LaTznia LaFukei Mai. What does it mean, whatever is fit to store? What is it coming to exclude? What example is something that's not fit to fit to store? The Gemara says, Rav Papa Amar LaFukei Damnida. It means to exclude a woman's menstrual blood that has no use for on Shabbos. And therefore, it is going to be, something that's not carried and not the derech to carry. But why don't we assume that people need dam nida to check a mara? They have to bring a mara sometimes to a rav to show him the mara, whether it's dam nida or not dam nida. So the Rishonim explained, maybe that it was talking about a case over here where a woman is already tamei, and therefore there's no shaila. She doesn't already know that she's in nida for the next 7 days. There's no shaila if it's dam nida or not. Maybe dam ziva, maybe she already knew it was, or maybe she already showed it to the rav, and then there's no purpose for it further. Whatever the reason is, we're assuming that there's no use for it. It's coming to exclude an asherah tree, which is something Rashi points out, the vodah zarah, which is terrible. So obviously you need to get rid of it, and you should not be carrying it. The Gemara says, "Mandam Ardam Nida." Someone said, the one Rene or Papu said they were talking about menstrual blood. Kol shekein atzeisher. Then obviously an asherichi, which is certainly going to be unfit for carrying because it's something we have to destroy and get rid of, as opposed to Dam Nida, you don't have to destroy it; it's just disgusting. Mandam Ardam Asherah. However, Mar Ukvo said that Asherah v'Adam Nida Matznei LeShunra. However, people would store menstrual blood sometimes for a cat to eat. Apparently, they like to eat Dam Nida. It sounds pretty gross, but that is something that they used to do. Now the Gemara continues with Idach and Rav Papa. What is he going to say? He holds Kevan Dechalsha. A person becomes weak if he feeds blood to his cat. I guess that's one of the things the Gemara says. And Lo Matznele, therefore, a person doesn't store it. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Yosef Bar Chanina. The Gemara is saying now, not everyone agrees to our Mishnah's ruling. Hi, the low Rabbi Shimon. This Mishnah, the ruling of the Mishnah is not with the Shita's Rabbi Shimon, Rashi explains, because the Mishnah told us that if an item is chashuv to most people, anyone who takes it would be chayev, even a wealthy person who doesn't consider it minimal useful. However, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, to eat Rabbi Shimon, because if you're going to hold like Rabbi Shimon, then ha'amar, lo amru ashir nalalu ela matznan, that only person who's going to be chayev is the person who is actually storing them. However, a wealthy person, according to Rabbi Shimon, would not be chayev for carrying these minimum shiurim, because it's not something he normally carries, so therefore for his derech, not for him, and don't go after the general population according to Shita's Rabbi Shimon. The Mishnah also said, v'chol she'inu kasher la'atznia, whatever is not fit to store, only the person who's going to actually store is going to be chayev, but another person carrying is going to be pater. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, ha, the low Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. This also, second one of the Mishnah, isn't Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. What does Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hold? The sound of the following of the Braisa, he holds, Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Kol She'inu Kasha Latzniya, whatever is not fit to store, Ve'in Matzniya Kamo, and people don't store in such a quantity. And if it was fit for this particular person and he stored it, and another person came and carried it out, this person who carried it out is going to be chayav because of the fact that this one person intended to use it makes everyone chayav. So this, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, has a third shita. He's more machmir than the two. He says that if someone stored and picked them out item, whoever carries it chayav because the owner's intent was to keep it there. We have the most machmir over here. Okay, Mirtz Hashem will pick up with Hamotzi Tevin and Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.